I say as I was prepping for this sermon, but I got to tell you, it's been 4 hours of really not a lot. And then so here I am. The interesting thing about Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, it's the same every year. So I go to my Bible and it's all marked up. I'm like, well, Lord, you got to show me something different today. And after 14 years of preaching Monday, Thursday, it's a little hard to find a little something different sometime unless you can get a little focus. You know what I mean? So I did what we all like to do. Maybe I can lay some heavy theological stuff on you. I'm not doing that. But maybe I will. See, because as I was sitting and wondering what was going to happen in this moment tonight, I was thinking about this concept of the simplicity of the night and the reality that sometimes we live in a very complicated world. And a complicated world that seems to be in desperate need of Jesus. As I'm hearing reports that my niece, who goes to Florida State, is okay. And not everybody is. And I look at the world in general, and I think about these things in our life that we often look at and we find that are so complicated. And in our relationships, in our finances, in our work, in our health. And there are so many times when things are happening we cannot explain. There's just something going on there. We're in our head, we're trying to find our way through it. And somebody says, what's going on? And our response is, it's complicated. Amen? And I discovered something in my thought and prayer, which really looked like me begging God to give me something. And I'm realizing, he goes, well, the problem is, you think too much. If y'all can't think through it, your response is, it's complicated. I think, yeah, that's true. When we get to the end of our rope, we cannot explain anything any further. Things are happening with us, around us, to us, through us. We don't even know. And we're like, I can't think straight. Somebody says, hey, are you doing okay? Yeah, I got this going on. Oh, what's going on? It's complicated. And I've discovered something. It's not. It is not at all complicated. The reality is when we hit that moment, what's normally happening is we really need to deal with how we're feeling, not how we're thinking. And we don't want to do that. We start dealing with how we feel. There is no telling what might happen. So we just decide it's complicated and we just let it sort of lie. In this gospel according to John today, we have this moment sort of summed up in this first verse in chapter 13. Now before the festival of Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Now that is a complicated moment that we're looking at tonight, amen? Jesus has made his triumphal entry. They're having Passover dinner. Jesus knows that he's not long for this world, so to speak. And he's sitting there with his disciples, who shortly will, at least one of them, will indicate that they haven't learned anything in all their time with him. It's a complicated moment. Can you imagine such a scene where it's been your job to raise a certain group of people up to handle a certain task, and your time with them is this short? You got hours before you're leaving them to the task. That's what Jesus is facing. He didn't sit down and run through every sermon he ever gave. He didn't remind them of every miracle that they watched him perform. He just simply, in this complicated moment, loved them. In all that he could have done and all that he could have taught, We hear this story today as an opportunity for us, in my opinion, to gain some perspective on what's going on. He just simplifies it. And he has a few sort of basic final lessons for his followers. And he takes the role of servant, taking the towel and wrapping it around himself, getting the water in the basin to wash their feet. And as he comes to Simon Peter, he said, Simon Peter says, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? And Jesus answered, you do not know what I am doing, but later you will understand. Now this is a people who understand what it means to be saved historically by the blood of the Lamb. Washed in the blood of the Lamb, we might say. Peter doesn't quite understand yet, but he will. And in his lack of understanding, he says to him, you will never wash my feet. And Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no share with me. It becomes very simple all of a sudden. In all that Jesus has been teaching, in all that Jesus has done, in this final moment, in this complicated time, as he's facing the final steps of his journey on this earth with his disciples, they got to see the train, man. I know some of you all just had flashbacks to run into the big windows, didn't you? It's good to know some things don't change. But in this moment, this Jesus chooses these simple lessons. Unless I wash you, unless I wash you, you have no share with me. So as we try to think through our theology and our understanding of Jesus and all the rest of it, in this moment Jesus is saying, let me wash you. On this day, as he implements what we consider, what we call the Eucharist, our communion, this coming to the Lord's table, call it what you will, in this evening when we remember this was implemented, when we take in the very body and blood of Jesus Christ, that which has saved us washes us of our sin, that which cleanses us has been poured out, and we remember that today. And without it, brothers and sisters, without him, we are nothing. That's the beginning of his lesson tonight. If I don't wash you, if I don't wash you, Simon Peter, you have no share with me. So as we think through all of what we are, and more importantly, what we aren't, as we enter these three holy days, after coming through Lent and being reminded of our frailty and our brokenness, this is the day we begin to remember of our salvation. Amen? This is when we remember that Jesus has done this work for us, and we come and we're reminded of it. And in this simple lesson, when he could be teaching us so many things, when I could have dug out all of my books and gone into some very deep theology with you, I say this, let him wash you. No, it won't make sense to you. How could he forgive us? We don't need to know how. We just know and need to know he does. And we let him wash us. And after he moves through this process and he washes feet, a little further down, in verse 15, for I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. If we humbly recognize this reality of what Jesus has done for us, and we go to the world to do the same, not in judgment, washing their feet, introducing them to this Jesus who can wash them of their sin, no matter what that sin may be, no matter how we might feel about these other people, no matter what they may look like, no matter what they might act like, even if they're an enemy, Jesus says, wash their feet so they may know what it feels like to be washed by Christ. So we are to move humbly as our God has moved so humbly this day, kneeling and washing the feet of his disciples. And there's just one very simple lesson. As Jesus is in this moment, final hours. He simply says, I give you a new commandment. That you love one another, just as I have loved you, you should love one another. How hard is that? Brothers and sisters, in this strange and complicated world, where we cannot explain away so much of what we see and so much of what goes on around us and in us and through us causes us sorrow and pain. We function sometimes well and sometimes not so well. Jesus knows all these things. In his final hours with his followers, he chooses to give them an example, a reminder that we must be washed by him, and that we are to humbly go and point others to the one who can free them from their bonds of sin and pain and sorrow. And we are to do that by simply loving as we have been loved. As he has loved us, we should love one another. Roughly 14 years ago, as I was finishing seminary, after 3 years of some really heavy theological study and biblical digging around in a couple of languages, and I don't know how many times going to church and learning how to do church and all the rest of those things, we called it liturgy there, in all of the things that we said and did, and all the things that we were taught, and all the things we were tested on, the one lesson that my academic advisor wanted to be sure we left with was this. If you can do nothing else for your parish, you must love them. So simple. 3 years, 96 credit hours, thousands of pages read, thousands of pages written by a writer I don't even recognize when I read them now. Thank God he was boring. We What matters is just simply the same thing that Jesus left his disciples with, we were sent with. Love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also love one another. So as we enter these three holy days, as we look forward to that resurrection celebration of our risen Lord, brothers and sisters, as your rector, in all that I am, and especially all that I am not, I need you to know you are loved.